there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club broadcast. We're so glad you're with us today. How about going to the phone and calling a friend to turn this station and listen with you? Both of you together might be able to find out the answer to the Bible question and send it to me for a nice prize. You know, the Lord is so good. We really should be praising Him every day. Psalms 31:3 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Yes, you look good when you're thankful and praising the Lord. And you can do that right now by singing with the choir as they begin our time together. Choir? Choir. Okay, kids, I promised you a Bible question a minute ago, so get a pencil and paper and be ready for the question and the address to send it to. Oh, where is that pencil? I know you never can find one when you want it. But now, are you ready? Here's the question. I hope it's not too tough. In what city was the altar to the unknown God? The people there were so superstitious that their city was full of gods. And then, in fear that they might have left one out and offended it, they made a monument to what could only be called the unknown God. Look in Acts chapter 17 and verses 16, 22, and 23. Poor people, they didn't know the true God of heaven and worshipped all kinds of gods. Good for Paul, though. He preached the truth to them. He told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, who came and died for our sins so that all who believe can be saved. Now that's good news. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should do what Paul did. Tell others about Him and give them the gospel. Now again, in what city was the altar to the unknown God? Acts 17:16, 22, and 23. Find the answer and send it to me, Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. That's 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. I'll be looking for your answer this week. And now it's time for the choir again before story time.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know.
A new king for Israel. What a disappointment Saul became. God had entrusted him to be the first king of Israel, and he utterly failed. Samuel was brokenhearted, but after a time God said, "Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? Get up and get back to God's work. Take anointing oil and go to Bethlehem to Jesse's house. I'll choose one of his sons to be my new king." Samuel exclaimed, "Jesse of Bethlehem? I can't go there. Saul will hear about it and kill me." Samuel feared for his very life because of Saul's quick temper and pride. God had the answer, though. "Take an heifer with you and say that you've come to sacrifice." The town was in a stir when Samuel arrived. People watched in fear, for the last time they'd heard of him was his judgment on the Amalekites and how he chopped King Agag in pieces. They asked timidly, "Have you come in peace?" How relieved they were when they heard that Samuel had come to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Soon a crowd gathered, and Samuel specifically called Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice. What a lineup of fine young men! How excited they were as 7 of Jesse's sons stood tall in expectation. Which one would Samuel anoint to be the next king? First, Eliab was called forward. That seemed logical. He was the oldest and must have looked tall, dark, and handsome, because Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But he was wrong. God said, "Samuel, don't look on his outward appearance, because God looks at the heart. It's the man on the inside that counts." Oh, what a big lesson for Samuel's notebook. One by one, Jesse's sons passed by. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7, but none was chosen. God didn't finger any of them, not one. However strong or pleasing, not one was king material. Samuel was puzzled. Had he missed God's signal as the young men stepped forward? "Go around again." So again the 7 boys passed by Samuel. Still no one was chosen. By now, Samuel was really puzzled. "Jesse," he exclaimed, "are these all your sons?" "Well," Jesse hesitated, "there is one more, but he's the youngest. He's out in the field guarding the sheep." How could the youngest, most immature, inexperienced, unlikely boy be king material? But Samuel insisted, "Well, send for him quickly. We won't go any further or sit down until he comes. Make haste." A runner hurried to call David. Quickly, David found a keeper to watch his sheep, for he was a dependable lad. Then he ran right home at his father's command. Straight in from the outdoor wind and sun, he looked weathered and ruddy. Instantly, the Lord said, "That's your man, Samuel. Anoint him." Amid surprised onlookers, Samuel poured the oil over David's head, pronouncing him king, and God showed his approval by sending his spirit upon David. What an amazing, bewildering day for a shepherd boy. King? He knew nothing about being a king, but he knew the Lord and trusted him. When the commotion was over, he humbly went back to the field to keep his father's sheep. God's spirit was now upon David, but his spirit departed from disobedient Saul. An evil spirit troubled him instead. Saul couldn't have any peace or rest. Sometimes he was so frenzied he was nearly out of his mind. A worried servant suggested that he knew of a young man who was skilled in playing music and was also brave, wise, and handsome, and the Lord is with him. Saul ordered, "Go get him." Messengers ran to Jesse for David to come at once. Jesse loaded a donkey with many gifts and sent them by David to Saul. David's heart must have raced as he stood before the king. But he was just the medicine Saul needed. When he played his harp, the evil spirit left, and Saul's mind and fears were calmed. Saul was greatly relieved by David's sweet music. In fact, he came to love and trust David and made him his armor-bearer. Soon, Saul depended on David constantly and demanded David to come live at the palace. David had practiced his music out in the field with the sheep. Now he used his talent to serve King Saul. From protecting sheep from wild beasts in the wilderness to living in a palace was quite a change. Little did he know how dangerously alike the two places would be. Staying in the palace with a demented king became deadly, but David was faithful and proved his godly character. Standing true to God in this day is not easy either, but God will stand by you if you will do right and stand by him. Faithful is he that calls you, who also would do it. And now, God bless you.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.